Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of his word. Come sit with us.
Throughout history, there has always been the belief among some people, in some societies, that there are those who have been blessed by heaven in a unique way. That they have been given a special anointing from above. And at times, those anointed ones would behave in an unpredictable way. They would throw themselves around in a frenzied mania, manifesting what they believe were divine abilities. And they believed that their unusual behavior confirmed their anointing. And at the time that the New Testament was being written, these cults dominated that world. And these practices can be summarized by two words. Ecstasis in Greek, from where we get our English word ecstasy, which at that time meant a memorizing state of euphoria. And the second word is enthusiasm, which, as you might expect, is where we get our English word enthusiasm. But at that time, it meant a hypnotic state of visions and of dreams. And this concept of spirituality had found its way into the church in the city of Corinth at that time. And remnants of that kind of thinking can still be found in many places today. And at times it can also be found within the church. And as you might expect, there was confusion among the people in the church in Corinth as they tried to sort out what was of God and what was not of God. So beginning in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul attempts to straighten out their misunderstanding. He attempts to straighten out their confusion. And so he says, Now I would like to address another problem in the church. That is the confusion concerning spiritual gifts. Pneumatikos in Greek. Spiritual things. Things that find their origin in the Spirit of God, things that are characterized by Him. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, he says, this is an important subject. This is a subject that is vital to you. It's a subject that is vital to the health and to the well-being of the church. So pay close attention to these words of mine. Because I do not want you to be unaware, he says. Agnoeo in Greek. I don't want you to be without understanding. I don't want you to be without knowledge of this truth. Because it is through these things, it is through these gifts that have been given to you, given by the Spirit of God, that you will make manifest Christ, that you will express Him in your lives and in the church and in the world. You know, Paul reminds them in verse 2, that when you were pagans, ethnos in Greek, when you were unbelievers among the nations of this world, despite what you may think, you were not free, but instead you were being led astray, apago, in Greek. You were being carried away like prisoners who were in chains and who were condemned to die. You did not know that the idols of wood and of stone, idols who had no voice, those false gods that you worshiped, were being used by the enemy of your soul, to sweep you away into an eternity without God. And today, whether they are the idols of our desires, or the idols of our possessions, whatever those idols may be in our heart, their voice speaks without speaking a word, as the enemy seeks to lead us away from Christ. However, we are being led around by them. At one time, you had no choice in these things, because you were slaves to sin. But our God is not a God of confusion. And so now that you are free, now that you belong to Christ, there is no reason why you should not understand these things. You are no longer blind to the truth. Therefore, Paul says in verse 3, I wish to make known to you that no one who is speaking by the leading of the Spirit of God says that Jesus is accursed. Anathema in Greek. Apparently that was what was going on in Corinth. That he had been condemned to destruction by God. And Paul says those who say those things are not speaking by the leading of the Spirit of God. Instead, they're speaking blasphemy. Even if they say these things while they are in a state of euphoria or through a vision or through a dream. Emotional intensity does not validate our words. But the truth of the Word of God validates our words. Yes, Jesus became a curse for us as he took our sin upon himself, but he has triumphed over our sin. He has triumphed over the grave. And those who truly know him know this truth. And no one, he says, can sincerely say from his heart that Jesus is the Lord, the God of the universe, the one with divine sovereignty and with authority over all things, the creator and the sustainer of all things, our Lord and Master. No one can say that except by the leading of the Holy Spirit, as he puts this truth in our heart. He is the one who indwells us. He is the one who teaches us. He is the one who guides us, the one who corrects us, the one who encourages us, the one who unifies us. And he is the one who gives us a ministry for the benefit of each other. We minister to each other through these gifts of the Spirit. Now, Paul points out in verse 4, there are varieties of these gifts. Charisma in Greek, from the Greek word charis, which means grace. What the Spirit gives to us, he freely gives as a gift. It's not something you have to look for. It's not something you have to ask for. By his grace, he gives these gifts to us, though we certainly do not deserve these things. And these gifts are as diverse as those who receive them. We receive a unique combination of them, just as we are unique. The way that an artist will mix colors in a unique combination on his palette in order to paint a picture. We are that picture that he is painting. What we are, uniquely, we are by the grace of God. So each one of us who belongs to Jesus Christ is supernaturally and uniquely equipped so that we might minister to each other. And it is the same Spirit who gives these gifts to us. We're just stewards of these things, things that have been entrusted to us. But though they've been entrusted to us, they are not really for us, but they are for those around us. And there are varieties of these ministries, Paul says, diakonia in Greek. There is a wide variety of service. Service that we render to Christ. Service that is carried out in a wide variety of ways. Though we may have similar gifts, the Lord will choose to use those gifts differently in each of us. We are servants of Christ. He chooses to use us whatever way he chooses, just as he came to serve. He came to serve and to give his life for us, says in Matthew 20:28. So we serve him. We serve the same Lord. And what has been given to us in order for us to effectively serve him will result in a variety of effects, Paul says in verse 6. En ergema in Greek. Through the power of God, through his power, he will bring about a variety of results. And if we are being led by the Spirit of God, when we exercise these gifts, there will be results. A variety of results. But whatever those results may be, those results belong to him. After all, it is the Lord's work that we do. It's not our work, it's his work. And our part is to be obedient to what he has given us and gifted us to do. For the same God who works all things in all persons according to his will is the source, and he is the energy behind all of these spiritual things. So, we're told in verse 7, from him to each one of us who belongs to Christ is given the manifestation of the Spirit, phanerosis in Greek. We are given a clear display of Christ that will be evident in our lives. But let me remind you of this, Paul says. This is not for ourselves. We haven't been given these things for ourselves, but he says it is for the common good, sumphero in Greek. It is for those who have gathered together so that we might encourage one another, and so we might help each other to more effectively use our spiritual gifts so that we might reach the world, the lost, with the message of Christ. And when we fail to minister these spiritual gifts, gifts that have been given to us, we greatly hinder the growth of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We fail to be a witness for him to the lost. And so we hinder the work of the Lord. As we are told in 1 Peter 4:10, we are to employ these gifts by serving one another as faithful stewards of the multifaceted grace of God. And so, for example, in the church in Corinth, Paul says, beginning in verse 8, there are a number of gifts that have been given to you. A great number of gifts. To one, he says, one who is among you, there is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Sophia in Greek. Been given the understanding of the word of God and how to apply that word in a practical way in our lives. We could use more of that today, couldn't we? And he says to another in the church, is given the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, gnosis in Greek, given divine insight, given heavenly illumination into the word of God so that the truth might be passed on to others in a clear and in a comprehensible way. I guess we could use more of that too, couldn't we? And to another, he says, is given the gift of faith by the same Spirit, pistis, unwavering confidence, even beyond our saving faith, to believe God in the most severe and the most demanding circumstances in life, praying without shrinking back, praying without giving up, trusting in the Lord even as the storms rage all around us and there doesn't seem to be any way out. That's the kind of faith that moves mountains. And to another, he says, are given gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Iama. In Greek, cures, remedies for diseases to confirm the power of the gospel and the truth of Jesus Christ. And to another is given the effecting of miracles, dunamis in Greek, power, the ability to show forth the miraculous power of God in such a way that the result could only be attributed to his divine intervention. And that word is used primarily to talk about the power over the darkness of this world through the power of the word of God. And to another is given the gift of prophecy, prophetia in Greek, the ability to proclaim the message of God through the power of the Spirit of God to build up the people in the church, it says in 1 Corinthians 14:3, to encourage them, to comfort them. And to another is given the gift of distinguishing, the distinguishing of spirits, diakrisis in Greek, to know what, if what is being spoken is of God, to know whether it really is the truth. We could use that today as well. And to another is given the gift of various kinds of tongues. Glossa in Greek. Languages. Dialects. Dialects that are spoken both unknown and known languages, but a language that is not understood by the one who is speaking that language. And so, to another, it says in verse 10, is given the interpretation of those languages. Hermeneia in Greek. Simply the ability to give the meaning of that language. Why? In order to validate the message of the gospel, just like at Pentecost. And all of these gifts were evident in the church in Corinth. And yet, amazingly, the church was in a state of confusion. The church was consumed in sin. What's wrong with that picture? And the question that has caused much division in the church today is if or how these gifts are to function in the church today. So Paul concludes in verse 11, and he says that the church is to be the habitation of the Spirit of God. He is present among the believers. He is in control, or he should be in control, of all that we do, all that we say, all that we are. All of these things are through the one and the same Spirit. Paul says, he works in all of these things, distributing to each one in the church these things. How? According to our will? According to our desire? He says, no. As he wills. As we submit to him to work through us. Not for our glory, but for the glory of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.